Tafam and Gimel. The Gemara asks, do we say dichui eitzel mitzvahs? Once an item is pasul at the zman of the mitzvah, it cannot become kosher later. Or do we say ein dichui eitzel mitzvahs, and it can be converted later on? The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav must be tied up with the hadassim and the aravas, or it's makav. In other words, it's pasul if it's not. According to the Chachamim, you do not need to do this, but if you do, it's very nice because of the zekeli v'anveyu. The Gemara says if the grapes that we have on the hadassim are red or black, then they pasul the hadassim. Mashenkin, if they're green, they're all right. Picking grapes from the hadassim are usur, but if you pick them not to be machshir the hadass, but rather to eat them, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says it's mutter, since we say davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. I frak the Gemara, but it's a psik reisha. When you pick them, you know what you're picking them for, even if you're taking them off to eat them, but you're trying to be machshir the hadass. So the Gemara answers, he already has one kashra hadass, so he doesn't really need this one. Therefore, it's not a tikkun kli, and therefore it's not a psik reisha. If the knot tying the three minim gets loose on yontif, then you're not allowed to tie a knot, but you just wrap around something around the lulav, hadassim, and the aravas. And you're not allowed to do a bow either, since this is usur on Shabbos and yontif. The Gemara says we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and we are not mechuyev in igud. But today, once we do put them together, then there must be a full kesher, as we see in Siman, Tav Resh Nun Aleph. We do this via a keshela. This is with the leaves of old lulavim braided together. And this is generally the minig today to put the hadassim and the aravas into this keshela because of noi mitzvah, beautification of the mitzvah. Then we have a mishnah. A stolen, a dry, one from Avodah Zarah, one that's cut off on top regarding an arava. The arava is pasul. If the leaves aren't round, then it's pasul. If it doesn't grow near a river, then we say it's kosher. Why are we worried about a river? The Gemara says, arve nochal from the pasuk, which means by the river, tells us that it's preferable that it's grown by the river. And those whose leaves are shaped like a river, in other words, they're shaped like a river versus round-shaped. Daf Lamed Dalet. Arve, which is plural, teaches us that you need two aravas, one that is taken with the lulav, and one that is used in the Beis HaMikdash. Tzaftzifa is not kosher for an arava. Tzaftzifa are referring to round leaves. The Gemara says that an arava has three distinct signs. Number one, a long, narrow leaf, ola shalai mashach kenachal. Number two, edges of leaves are smooth, piv cholak. And number three, if it's a twig, is red, kana shalai edai. Today, we are not makpid on trying to find aravas that bedafka grow near water. The Gemara then says, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were three things which had their names changed, arava, shefer, and the shulchan. The Gemara also brings numerous other items, including when if someone says that a get came from Bavel, if they still need to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtav, which were not needed if the get was written in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel. Then we have a mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael says we take one lulav, one esrog, three hadassim, and two aravas. Rabbi Akiva says, we need only one of each. We, of course, paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael adds that if two of the hadassim are ketumim, their tips are cut off, then it's still okay. Today we try to avoid ketumim, if possible, in hadassim. The Gemara says that the esrog does not get tied together with the other three minim, since the pasuk says, pre eitz hadar, kapois tamarim, vi anaf eitz avos, vi arvei nachal. There's a vav right before hadassim and aravas, but there's no vav connecting pre-eitz hadar and kapos tamarim, so those are separated, you don't have to put them together. In other words, although you don't tie them together, however, you still hold them together, the esrog in the left hand and the lulav, the hadassim and the aravas in the right hand. Shmuel threatened the shopkeepers not to overcharge on hadassim, and the Gemara says that the dalad minim are ma'akvim zeh zeh, so if you don't have one of them, you cannot make a bracha. We now have the mishnah about esrogim. And before we go through to the Mishnah, we're going to read a little bit from Kitzur Hilchas Dalad Minim by Reb Shimon Eider. The four basic parts of the Esrog are the Shoshanta, the Pitim, the Chaitim, and the Ugats. The upper tip of the Esrog, which protrudes beyond the Esrog, is commonly called the Pitim. But in truth, the Pitim consists of two parts. The flat horizontal part, which is all the way at the top, that is called the Shoshanta, and the bottom vertical portion of this top part, which is slightly below the Shoshanta, which is connected to the esrog, this is what is considered in halacha as the pitim. So in other words, between the esrog, the body of the esrog itself, and the shoshanta, that piece, the piece that's sticking up vertically, that's the pitim. The chaitim is the top portion of the esrog, after it begins to get narrower. In other words, about the top one-third of the esrog, that's called the chaitim. And the ukitz is the portion of the esrog, all the way at the bottom, and this is the portion which is connected to the tree. That is the stem at the bottom of the esrog. An esrog which is morkav, is an esrog, which is a product of the grafting of an esrog with a lemon, an orange, or any other fruit. And if this happens, it's pasul. There are three simanim, visible characteristics, which differentiate between a morkev and a kosher esrog. Number one, the outer skin of a morkev is smooth versus the outer skin of a kosher esrog, which has bleitas, bump-like elevations. Number two, the ukitz, the stem of the morkev, is on the surface of the fruit. Mashenkin, the ukitz of the kosher esrog is recessed into the fruit. And number three, the skin of the morkev is thin and its fruity portion is large and juicy. The skin of the kosher esrog is thick and its fruity portion is small and contains very little juice. The Chasam Sofer holds that one may not rely exclusively on these characteristics. One may only use an esrog from an orchard which has the Masorah from earlier generations, which established that it was not morkev. Now the Mishnah. An esrog which is stolen, which is dry, which was used for avodah zarah, which is orla, or it is chaser, or if its pitim comes off, etc., these are all pasul. The minimum shear of an esrog, Rameir says, is the shear of an egos, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's the shear of a beitza. And speaking about chaser, we know that if an esrog is chaser, any little bit, even if it's just a kalshil, then the esrog is pasul on the first day. Later on, a person should consult a rav. Daf Lamed Hei. The bark of the esrog tree has the same taste as the fruit itself, and the fruit stays for a few years on the tree. Gemara says, like sechsar kolbay, which is in Devarim, teaches us that the land of Eretz Yisrael has everything and isn't lacking in anything. The Gemara says that an esrog of arla is usar. Arla is for the first 3 years of a tree's life. Its fruits are usar ba'achila and hana. Why? We have a machlekes, either because it's usar to eat, or it has no value, since it's usar ba'hana, so it lacks in lachem. The Gemara says everyone agrees with number one, the fact that it's usar to eat, for sure. The Gemara says matzah or esrog of Maisr Sheni are not considered lachem, and therefore you cannot use them. And by challah too, a person must own it for him to be mechuyev to take off challah. The Gemara says truma tahira cannot be used for an esrog, because either it will become wet by one of the seven mashkais, and it will be mukhshal kabel tuma, since it will touch the wet lulav and the hadasim, and it's asur lechatchila to make something mukhshal kabel tuma. And one man diyamah holds that its outer surface could become ruin, mafsida. The Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, it's usur to use an esrog which is demai. But according to Beis Hillel, it's mutar, since Iboi mafkir nechasa, he could be mafkir everything he owns and become an instant ani. And ani am allowed to eat from demai, since demai is only a takanas chachamim, but minatara, it's mutar. If there is a chazazis, a blister, on most of the esrog, then it's pasul. If it is only on a few spots, even if it's less than raiv, then it's also pasul. However, if it's on the chaitim, on the top, a narrow part, even one spot at that point makes it pasul. The Gemara says that the pitim is removed, then the esrog is pasul. Rashi brings two pshatim what the pitim is. Rabbeinu Yaakov says the top point, which is how we know it, and Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi says it's the bottom of the esrog. In Shulchan Aruch Simin Tav Reish Mem Ches Sif Zayin, we learn that there are really two parts to what we call the pitim: the dad, which is the piece of wood vertically coming out of the top of the esrog, and the shoshanta, which is the horizontal piece coming out of the dad. The Mechaber says the esrog is pasul only if the dad is missing. The Ramah says even if the shoshanta is missing, it's also pasul. But this is only lechatchila. However, b'di'evit, it's only pasul if the dad is missing. And all of this is only if it grew with a pitam on it, and then it came off. However, if the esrog never had a pitam at all, then it's kosher lechatchila even without a pitam. And many of this, the esregim, the Ramah says that he saw in Poland, he saw without a pitam. Daf Lamed Vav. If the esrog has a nekev mefulash, and even if it's all the way through, then it's pasul, even if it's only a tiny hole. The Gemara says that an esrog that is swollen, decayed, pickled, cooked, black, white, or spotted is pasul. An esrog that is small, baiser, doesn't have the status of a pri. Therefore, it's pater mi meiser, and it's pasul for an esrog on sukkahs. The Gemara says that an esrog that was bitten by a mouse is not considered hodar, and therefore cannot be used because it's nias. However, if a person bites it, you can't use it on day one, but after that it's okay, since on day one we say that chaser b'mashu is pasul. And the Gemara brings this because they used to talk about Rav Chanina, who used to bite his esrog. The Gemara says it's the same machlokes of the size of an esrog is the same as we've applied in other things, either it's an egos or a beitza, the minimum size. And this is the same machlokes by Avranim Mikurzolis. We say that although these stones are considered muktzah, a person can take these to the Beis HaKiseh for cleaning purposes due to Kavod HaBrias. This same size machlokes applies here to Beis HaKiseh. And Taisus adds that one can carry these even from a Karmelis to Rosh HaYachid, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan, due to Kavod HaBrias. The Gemara says that the maximum size of an esrog, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is up to two esrogim in one hand. Rabbi Yossi says even as big as one esrog in two hands. Once Rabbi Akiva came to shul with a giant esrog on his shoulder, and the Talmidim told him that it was not considered hadar. Then we have a Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav, hadassim, and the aravis can only be tied up with minai, one of its own species, but according to Rabbi Meir, it's okay even to tie it with a gold thread, which is not minai. And the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzarech agad, so if you use something new, which is not in one of the arba minim that exists, then it's potentially five minim, and it's potentially baltaisif. Taf lamed zayin. We hold like Rabbi Meir, as we see in Siman Taf Reish Nun Aleph, that one is not mechuyev to be ma'agid the lulav with the hadassim and the aravis, but today we do it anyway, lenoi, in order to beautify it because of zekeli vanveyu. And in Taf Reish Nun Aleph Sifyud Beis, if one picks up the dalad minim individually, he would also be mekayim the mitzvah. The Rush goes even further, and he says that if a person adds a fifth min, as long as it's lenoi, then it's kosher and there's no bal taisiv at all. Rabbi Akiva Eger in Mishnayis says pshat in the Rush is like a ran in Rosh Hashanah daf chaf ches. If we hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, what if one has a negative kavana? In other words, to pick up a shayfer and not to be yaitz the mitzvah at all. So based on a shitas Rabbeinu Shmuel, he would not be yaitz. So here too, since he specifically has the opposite kavana, the kavana for lenoi, then he is an ivor on baltaisif. And Rashi on daf lamed zayin amud aleph says nidza lenoi lefikach ein baltaisif. He's mashma just like Rabbi Akiva Eger. The halacha we know that it's best to tie up a lulav with the mina. If we hold lulav ein tzarech agad, so is a knot or a cloth on the lulav considered a chatzitza? According to Rabba it is, and according to Rabba it is not, and a person is yaitza, since it's considered lunai. And this is how we paskin lahalacha. In Taf Reish Nun Aleph, we paskin like Rabba, that lekicha aydei davar acher is mutar. But that's only regarding the binding around the lulav. However, if there's a chatzitza on one's hand, for example, like a glove, then a person is not safe, it's not yaitza. In fact, a person should be careful to take off rings or his tefillin before taking the lulav. The Gemara says that hadas, which is designated for a mitzvah, one should not smell it, but an esrog, which is designated for the mitzvah, is allowed to be smelled. The Gemara says we take lulav b'yamin in the right hand and esrog b'smol on the left hand. Since the right hand is more chashev, it gets the three mitzvahs of the agad of lulav, hadassim, and the aravos. What about a lefty? We see in Taf Reish Nun Aleph, Sif Gimel, that this is a machlekes between the Mechaber and the Rama. The Gemara asks, why was the nusach of the bracha al netilas lulav? Why didn't we say al netilas all three? The Gemara answers, since it's the longest and tallest of the arba minim, we say al netilas lulav. And then we have a Mishnah. The nanuim, which is the shaking that we do it in Hodu, twice, as part of Hallel, and in Ana Hashem Hashiyana, according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, we also do nanuim in Ana Hashem Hatzlichanu. You can take a look at a machlaikas between the Mechaber and the Ramah and Siman Taf Reish Nun Aleph, Sifchas. Taisvus also adds here that we also do nanuim when we take the lulav and esrog in the morning when we make the first bracha on the lulav and on the esrog. The Gemara says you shake the nanuim to four sides to show that Hashem owns the entire world. And we also shake it up and down to show who owns heaven and earth. The nanuim also has the ability to protect us against bad weather. Taf Lamed Ches, the Mishnah. If a person did not bench lulav and esrog in the morning, he could do it all day long, b'diavad. And the Gemara asks, is one mechuyev to interrupt a meal to bench lulav and esrog if he remembers at that point? And the Gemara answers, only if the day is about to run out, then he's mechuyev. Otherwise, he's not mechuyev to interrupt the meal. And as we see in Siman Taf Reish Nun Beis, Sif Beis, a person should not eat anything before taking the dalaminim in the morning. The Mishnah. As background, in the days of Chazal, one person said hallel for everyone, and everyone else would be mitzi. This particular person would be mitzi the entire tzibur. However, if an eved, an isha, or a katan is the bal tefila, they cannot be mitzi the entire kehila. This is, of course, since an eved and an isha are potter, mitzvah sasesha as man groma, and a katan, of course, cannot be mitzi anyone. And that in that particular situation, everyone must say it individually. And if the tzibur relies on one of these three, it's considered a bizoyan, and tabu lahem mi'ira, a kola will come upon them. The Mishnah also adds, if it's admitting to repeat Psukim of Hallel, Oidcha Kiani Sani, etc., or to make a bracha after Hallel, then you do it. V'hakolafi minig hamedina. In fact, as we know it, both of these minhagim today, generally speaking in the world, we do. It's interesting to note that there are two machlekes rishainim involving brachas. Number one, can an isha make a bracha on a mitzvah sasei shahazman groma? Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, and the Rambam says, no. as we know, the Rambam is always machmer when it comes to brachas. And number two, machlekes rishonim, does one make a bracha on something which is just a minig or not? Versus something, of course, which is a real mitzvah, where of course you make a bracha. For example, it's a shaila if one makes a bracha by halal on Rosh Chodesh, since halal is only a minig. The minig Ashkenaz, by both of these cases, one by a woman regarding a mitzvah seseh shazman groma, and all people regarding a minig, like for example halal on Rosh Chodesh, the minig is lahakel, to allow the recitation of a bracha in these cases. However, by the Svardim, they do not make a bracha by either of these cases. The Yaivitz in his Siddur says that on Rosh Chodesh, even women in Ashkenaz families should not make a bracha on halal, since it's tarti l'reisa. We have two chesrinus. Number one, it's a mitzvah seseh shazman groma, and number two, it's only a minig. Therefore, he holds, because of these two things together, are mitzvah to say that they should not make a bracha. However, the Bir Halacha in Siman Tov Chof Beis argues and holds that even women on Rosh Chodesh can make a bracha on halal. The Gemara. A ben can be mitzi his father in benching, and a wife can be mitzi her husband. However, they do these things, Tavi Alav Mehira, a kala will happen. The Gemara says many great halachas can be learned from our Mishnah regarding the recitation of halal. The Chazan used to say Ana Hashem Hayshiana, and the Tzibur would answer him. The Gemara says there are many halachas which were derived from the meaning of how halal was said in Rava's Beis Medrash, which remind us of the way it was said in the time of the Tanoim. The Gemara says that during halal the Chazan said Baruch Haba, and the people would say B'Shem Hashem. From here we learn the concept of Shemei Ka'ina. Even if a person actually said nothing, but if he had Kavana to be Yaitse by listening, then he's Yaitse. And we also learn this from a pasuk in Malachim. There is a machlekes achrayim exactly how Shamea Ka'ina works. Either you say it along or you just listen. Rashi says that if a person is in the middle of Shemayin Esrei and Kedusha comes, he should stop Shemayin Esrei and be mechaven to the words of the Chazan so he could be mechayin Kedusha via Shamea Ka'ina. This is brought in the Mechaber Simin Kuf Dalad Sif Zayin. Daf Lamed Tes. In Kaddish, one should say Yehesh Mei Rabba Mevarach all at once, and not have a hefsek between Yehesh Mei Rabba and Mevarach. Rebbe used to double the psukim in Halal from Eid Chan on, and this is the minig today all over the world. The Gemara says there is a minig to make a bracha at the end of Halal, but before Halal, it's a mitzvah specifically to make that bracha, and we also hold mitzvahs Mevarach alein over lasiyasam, which is why we do it before the mitzvah. Taisvis learns that due to this concept, you make a bracha on the lulav before you do the mitzvah, but he's in the supik exactly when this is, before you pick it up, with just a lulav in hand, pick all of them up together but turn one upside down, etc. Shulchan Aruch, we know we bring down the three minhagim, which are brought, number one, to leave the esrog on the table, to make the bracha and then pick up the esrog. Number two, to hold all of them together, but while you're making the bracha, you turn the esrog upside down, and then after you make the bracha, you turn it back up to its normal position. And number three, to hold all of them, but to make the bracha and have kavana, not to be yaitza until after the brachas. And the prevalent minhagim today are numbers 2 and 3, turning the esrog upside down, or holding all of them together and just not having kavanah to b'yaitza until after the bracha. We then have a mishnah. If one buys a lulav during Shemitah, he should ask for the esrog as a matana, because we're chayshish of lifnei iver leisitein michshol. And the Gemara says if the seller refuses, then he should just pay more for the lulav to make up the differential. The Gemara says regarding Shemitah, by trees, by pairs of trees, we go after the Zman Chanota, the time of the planting. So if you planted it in the 6th year, then it's Mutter in the 7th year. Mash'en came by Yerakas, by vegetables, we go Basar Lakita, we go after the time of harvesting. So if you planted it in the 6th year, picked it in the 7th, it would be Asar. And the same halachas would apply also by Meiser, in the differences between the 2nd and 3rd year. We know that Meiser Rishon has a Chiyav in years 1, 2, and 3. Meiser Sheni has a minig in years 1 and 2, but in the 3rd year we bring Meiser Ani. And if it's a borderline case, whether it's Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani, you would have the same Chanata or Lakita, depending on whether it's Paris or Yerakas. So we say that Lulav is Basa Lakita, but Esrog should technically be Basa Chanata, because it's a fruit. But the Rabbi Seinu Usha said it's Basa Lakita, since as Rashi explains, you can grow with any type of water, so it makes it like a Yerak. Daf Mem. Stam Eitzim do not have a Chiyav of Shvias, but Lulav does, since as Rashi explains, it could be used as a broom. So the Hana and the destruction happen at the same time. The Gemara says you can use Peres Shvias for all types of Hana, according to Rabbi Yossi, but not Melugma, in other words, not for a refuah, since it's not Shavela Kol Adam, not everyone is sick. We do not actually paskin like this, as it is brought in the Rabbah. Rabbi Eliezer says Peres Shvias can only be redeemed for money via an actual sale, via an actual Mekach. not just by transferring it, not via chil. And Rabbi Yochanan says, either way is good. Daf Mem Aleph, the Mishnah. In the Beis HaMikdash, the lulav was taken midaraisa for all 7 days, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Medina, it was taken for 1 day. Rashi and Meis Rishonim hold the Medina includes everything outside of the Beis HaMikdash, including the rest of Yerushalayim. So as soon as you walked out of the Beis HaMikdash, it was called the Medina. However, according to the Rambam, the rest of Yerushalayim is considered like the Beis HaMikdash, so we're Machmer, and then once you leave Yerushalayim, the rest there is considered the Medina. But after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that we take the lulav, the Medina, for a full 7 days, Zecher LaMikdash. So today, on day number one, Zechi of Midaraisa. And all other days are Midarabanan, Zecher LaMikdash. Of course, on the second day, Yontif, we take it. It's not Midaraisa, but it's considered Yontif Sheni. The Gemara. On Tesai and Nisan, Chodosh is still Asur all day. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Karban HaOmer, once brought, would be Matur al Chodesh and make it into Yasha. But today, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Mesakin, but this entire Yom Anaf remains Aser. He made this Takana since he was afraid people would forget. The Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt on the night of the 16th. The Mishnah. When the first day of Sukkot fell on Shabbos, everyone in the Beis HaMikdash would take their lulav to Shul before Shabbos, and then come early to Shul on Shabbos to pick up his lulav. Today we obviously don't do this because we don't take the lulav on Shabbos. On the first day of Sukkot, the lulav must belong 100% to the person mamish, because the pasuk says ulakachtem, plural. It must be a lakicha for each and every individual person, mishalachem. This comes to exclude borrowing and stealing. The Chachamim said, on day one, you cannot be yaitze with a friend's lulav unless the friend gives it to you b'matana. However, it is allowed to be a temporary matana, and we say matana amanois lahachzir shma matana. Tosfos points out that esrog, which is bought b'shutfus, you're not yaitze with. So if a shul, for example, buys one esrog together, the entire shul, then each person has to take 100% of it at a given point in time in order to be yaitze on the first day. The Gemara says Rabban Gamliel spent 1,000 zuzim on a lulav to show how chaviv mitzvahs are, kam mitzvahs chavivus aleihem. And finally the Gemara says it is mutter to hold the dalad milim, in other words to hold a lulav, while davening, since it's considered a dvar mitzvah, and it would not affect his kavanas hatfila. But other things are also to hold during tefila, including little children, because as their Birkei Yosef points out, you'll be worried about the child falling, and it will ruin your kavanah. Daf Mem Beis. Normally, if a kayan eats an oiles ha'if, he's chayav to bring a carbon me'ila. But if he thought it was a chatas ha'if, then he's pater, since it was ta b'dvar mitzvah. We then have a Mishnah. A woman may take a lulav from her husband or her son in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and put it back in a vase of water, even on Shabbos. The Mishnah says on Yontif, water can be added, and a chalamayah, you can even change the water of this vase. And finally, the Mishnah says a katan, who can shake a lulav, who knows how to do that, should do it because of chinuch. Today, we do not take a lulav on Shabbos at all. In fact, it's considered muktzah, as we see in Shulchan Aruch Siman and Tav Resh Nun Ches. The Gemara says a katan who knows how to make nanuim is mechuyev in lulav, al tzchinach. If he knows how to wear tzitzis, then he should wear tzitzis. If he knows how to wear tefillin without creating a bizayin, then he should put on tefillin. The Gemara says that a father should teach his son Torah, referring to the pasuk of Torah Tzivulon Moshe Marasha Kilos Yaakov, and he should teach him Kriyishma, the first pasuk of Kriyishma. If a katan knows how to shecht, then the Gemara says we can let him shecht, and we can eat from it as long as there's a gadol sha'imid al gabav. And finally, the Gemara says once a katan could eat a kazayis of the chameshus haminim b'chtei achilas pras, this is a machlekes, whether it's a shir, but it's somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes, that we must move away from his tzoa for dalat amas when we say kriyishma, or we daven, since now he has a full digestive system. And the details of this can be found in Shulchan Aruch Siman Ayin Tes. However, for all adults, even if they cannot eat at all, we must move 4 amas away from their tzoa when we say dvarim shebekdusha, like tefillah or kriyishma. This marks the end of the third parak of Masechta Sukkah, and at this point we will conclude our share.